B-Pod Studios.
This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I think that's sort of low class.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Boston Celtics were under 500 at midseason. They were inventing ways to lose games. And a season that began with a new coach, a new team president, issues on the court, issues off the court, has reached the conference finals. Ime Udoka, in his first year as a head coach, will reach the East Finals. And that son of a gun, Brad Stevens, just got another team to the Final Four. There are daps, there are handshakes, and there are hugs at center court. As for the second time in 3 years, the Boston Celtics have done the hardest thing there is to do in sports. They have taken the title belt off the defending world champion in Game 7 in the second round. The final score, Boston 109, Milwaukee 81.
How nice was it to have a non-stressful Game 7 Sunday afternoon Celtics game? I mean, that thing... First of all, welcome to Zolak and Bertrand. A hearty in for Beetle. Tim McCone is with us today. We have a new intern. We'll get to that kid later.
I mean, you're not kidding.
Wow. He's something else.
Talking about making an impact.
Yeah. Look at him.
Literally.
He just popped his head up like a meerkat.
Attaboy.
I just saw his head poke up over that monitor. Now he's poking around the side.
Yeah, he's going to be my new friend.
You better quit eyeballing me, son. What's that, T-Bone?
Cuddy's behind me. I don't have to look at them.
What do you bring in? All the aluminum cans and he's crushing them off his forehead? Never mind. I think of things
that,
like...
I don't know what that means, but I kind of like it.
So we'll get to him. But like
what if he brought in a garbage sack full of crushed aluminum cans? What are those? I crushed all these off my forehead
over
the weekend.
I'll bring mine
in tomorrow. I thought maybe you guys would want to see them.
Just killing time over there.
Better get your hand out of there.
Positives, negatives. Positive, good can crushers. Welcome to day one, buddy.
All right.
Buckle up.
So that game yesterday, with about 10 minutes left in the fourth, I said, this game is won or lost in the next 4 minutes. They had a 16-point lead. I said, they don't have to expand. They don't have to hold. You got to keep it to within a bucket of where they are right now at the six-minute mark, and then I'll feel okay. Because the way the game was trending and the way it was looking, I did not feel like there was a super huge push that was going to be available to Milwaukee in terms of lungs and legs.
Yeah.
At the end of that game, I said, you get through the next 4 to 5 minutes. Get me through the half of whatever is remaining in this quarter. Give me the 5-6 minute mark and we're good. And they did, and that was it. It was done. It was, you could have called that game at the 10-minute mark in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. You would have been foolish to because of the runs that we've seen in the NBA and throughout the, and with both these teams in this series, obviously. But man, did the Celtics pour it on at the end. And the Bucks, quite frankly, Zoe, I think they packed it in a little early yesterday.
I thought they did, too. And I think you finally got to them from an exhaustion standpoint. It's a one-man wrecking crew. We know that. I mean, Portis has had a nice series. There's other guys, Holiday, you know, stepped up. But they have nobody. They have no bench like the Celtics have.
Yeah.
And not even that. They have no starting five like the Celtics have. And that's the nice thing that you had. You could have a Jaylen Brown night. You could have the Big Al night that he had. You know, you did a lot of this without Robert Williams. You know, everybody thought going into Series 1 against Brooklyn, like this team was cooked, you're done. You don't have your starting center. They're in trouble. It's Durant. It's Kyrie. No, you go out there, you swept their tail, and then you knocked out the defending champ with the best player in the world on the roster. And you hear Grandy there take it to the wrestling lingo. Take the belt off the defending champ, and you did that. But you can't not get nervous with, say, a 10 or 12 point lead, third, fourth quarter. In this series, just stick to this series, Celtics-Bucks, because we've seen those runs happen.
Yep.
We've seen it where Jaylen Brown had 16 points in third quarter, vanishes in a fourth. We've seen Jason Tatum, you know, first couple games, even at game 5, not really have a good night, not really have a good day shooting. There's a stretch, three-game stretch, where he didn't look it. And then yesterday, he looks the part. So I think you're still going to realize this is a young team. They're still learning. It's education and progress. Ime Udoka, fantastic job. First two series as head coach. As you roll on and get ready to take on the Miami Heat tomorrow night, I think the team that's still standing, meaning the Celtics instead of the Bruins, I think we're not shocked sitting here on a Monday because there aren't as many questions with the Celtic team. And like Grandy said, there was something building here with this team.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't building with the Bruins. You sort of count the days. Can they stay there? What's the matchup going to be with the Bruins? What looks best? But no, the Celtics earned every right, every spot to be in the spot they're in right now. And you made fun of me about talking about the Carolina building and how lit it was. That garden sounded loud.
Oh, the
loud yesterday.
Fire, yeah.
The fans felt it. I think the players felt it. That does transmit. I think that home court advantage, that home ice advantage, you do need it in a game seven because you're exhausted. You're exhausted as a player, on a plane, off a plane, hotel, to the game. Let's get back on another plane. Let's go back to the other city. Game seven, you won. You stepped on her throat. You put them away, and boy, did it feel good.
Well, and that's why home court's so important in these games, right? Game seven, your role players step up in those situations, and I feel like, especially in the NBA, more often than not, the role players play well at home. You got that with Grant Williams yesterday. I mean, I'm the idiot that thought they were going to have to sit Grant Williams in the first quarter.
And that's a shot. That's the point of
it. You know
what
I mean? Yeah.
Okay, they could concentrate on Tatum and take him out or slow down Brown. Here we go. We got Grant Williams.
Yeah, it goes off. 18 threes yesterday.
Off. Yeah,
crazy.
18
threes yesterday.
Yeah.
Nuts.
So,
and Hardy, you know your take on Grant Williams. It's like the same thing. We're all like, oh my God, enough of Grant Williams offensively. Or he wasn't engaged, what, two games ago? And then bang, game seven's his day.
Yeah, and you look at the performance from Giannis, and you know I don't feel like you know this is I told you so or a victory lap moment. However, I did wonder what he would be like toward the end of this series without Chris Middleton there. He was shouldering an enormous part of the responsibility, and Beadle immediately countered with something from last year's playoff run where he had gone off for you know more than 40 points. Throughout and including a game seven, there was something about the way he was getting worn down in a very physical series and very physical defense from Marcus Smart, from Grant Williams, from Al Horford. I mean, these guys wore him down. And I said, I think if they can extend it, the longer it goes, that benefits the Celtics. Obviously, they're a little deeper. They're without Middleton. But I felt like at some point I was kind of hoping that Giannis would lose some steam. Now, it's crazy to think that a guy who goes off for 25 is somehow faltering. But when you're averaging 40 in the previous three or four games, that is a fall off. And I think he didn't have anything left.
The sad thing and for that, him, he had so to play above his head, which is sort of asking him a lot to do.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, what more can you ask from the guy?
Yeah.
He gave everything he had. It wasn't enough. And that was that. So we're obviously going to talk a bunch of Celtics here with you today. 617-779-0985. Is that your microphone?
I think so.
Is that your thing? Why don't you do your little unpluggy thing? Go ahead. I'll wait.
There we go.
There we go. Thank you, T-Bone. A lot of Celtics with you today. Unfortunately, we have to talk about the Bruins. Their season is over. They lose game seven Saturday afternoon against the Hurricanes, which T-Bone and I were talking about it this morning. That one did not feel it had a bit of a game seven against St. Louis feel, even though that was in your building in 2019, watching the Hurricanes get the first
goal. Get you early and get up.
And it didn't have the same. It was the 2-0. They got it to 2-0, and that's where you kind of felt
2-0 and a 4-minute.
Correct. I would feel better if I thought the Hurricanes were better. They're a good team. They're a real good team, and they're probably on paper, based on the way you played them this year alone. Better than the Bruins, but not so much better to where it's like, well, you know what?
Yeah.
That's for you. You took them to seven.
It's like the Celtics.
You took them to seven, and all you had to do was get one win away from home ice. And you coming up short like that against a team, albeit a good team, I don't think they're great. I don't think they're capital G good, much less great, that Hurricanes team. And that's why that one leaves a bit of a sour taste in my mouth.
We talked about this, though, before. Okay, if the Bruins lose in five, remember, they were down 0-2 in a series, and we said, is there any chance they get swept, and are they going to be okay? You were the first one to say no. No, you get back to Boston, you win a game. And I said, okay, if they lose in six, is that an issue, or five? No, it had to get to seven. So it got to seven. And then how does it look? They got worn down. They wore your ass down the same way the Celtics wore the Bucks down. The problem is the Bruins didn't have the all-world player. Now, they do have high-end talent who were absent for some games. They didn't have that Giannis that was just that undeniable force that you couldn't stop. You wore them down. They wore you down. Bruins got worn down in a series, no doubt about it. Guys are injured. Guys are nicked up. You tried pairings. You tried switching guys up. You tried moving the lines. Goaltenders were switched. And when you were eliminated, I think there's really three things you say or ask yourself after this. Number one for me, is this it for Patrice Bergeron? Number two, is there going to be a move made at coach? Or is there going to be a move, number three, made at GM? Is there going to be organizational changes? Organizational changes across the board. Because if Bergeron's gone, I mean, that's you're losing a all-world player.
So, unfortunately, that's where Rafters. We're at today. We're talking about the Celtics and their win and them moving on. And we're also talking about, as Zoe just put it, what happens next with the Bruins. All of it on the table here as we get rolling here on a Monday morning. Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle. Tim McCone is here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They bring you insight like no one else can.
Who cares? It was a bad take. I've got a million of them.
So
that's a twerk.
And Bertrand.
We can make a laundry list of horrible takes.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Tie game. 8:26 to go in the first half. Pritchard brings the Celtics into the front court. Playing his first game seven. He attacks the left side. Hand off Horford. Two-hand slam. Boston has the lead.
That's the timeout there. Celtics takes the lead. It only makes this culture that much hotter.
How'd you feel about Al Horford in this series, though?
Phenomenal. Phenomenal series. I would say surprising. Surprising because of the situation. You know, what's at stake? We all know he's a veteran, high-paid guy. You know, second time back here. I would never have expected this from him. The output, the impact that he had. I mean, not only helping to defend, you know, a big Kevin Durant, you know, in that first series, but Giannis is a wrecking ball. Like, it's a combination of guys. It's not just Al Horford. You know, it's Grant Williams. It's Tice mixing those guys in. And credit Udoka for the way he used them.
I got to say,
I think he stepped up big.
Yeah. And he only had six yesterday, but the 10 rebounds, and he showed us earlier on in the series what he was capable of, how he could take over a game if he wanted to. Mm-hmm. And the fact that that now exists, you know, in the very. I wouldn't say likely scenario that Jason Tatum and or Jaylen Brown have an off night. But if they do, Horford showed everybody that at his age right now, I'm not talking about 5-6 years ago when you knew about how dangerous he could be without actually maybe even seeing it for yourself. But he showed you in this series that he can take a game over. Now they have to account for him. He didn't need to score that many.
No.
The threat of it alone is kind of enough right now, and he is contributing in a lot of other ways, whether it's the rebounding, the assists. And that now, after having seen it with my own eyes, Now I can see his game for what it is and for what I was being sold on when he joined the Celtics the first time. It's like it's all the stuff he does away from the ball, especially in a hard-fought physical series like they had with the Bucks. Now I get it. Now I'm not apologizing. I'm not taking back anything that I said. I just hadn't seen the other side of it before. Now I get it. Now I can see it. Now I understand his value, even when it doesn't necessarily show up in the box score. I thought he had another really good game yesterday, and I thought he had an excellent series.
And he's like the opposite of Giannis, where Giannis, you can let him float outside three because he's not that good of a three-point shooter. Al's the guy that can knock down the three. So you not only have to worry about him down and low, but you have to worry about him now extending. And, you know, you say, okay, Al Horford in the series. Like, yeah, okay, it's Al Horford. We got to worry about Jaylen Brown. He's going to benefit because you got Tatum, you got Smart, you got Brown. Like now, like he only has to be like the fourth or fifth guy at times when Robert Williams is back. And that's where I think it helps benefit Al at his age.
So let's get to the calls here. I may need some help pulling up the first one here, T-Bone.
Six problems with this thing. You have problems with yours?
I always have problems. I always have problems with it. I just have problems. McCone, can you handle the phone calls and just the hosting duties for this?
I am trying to pull up the next phone screener. McCone, how much mayonnaise?
Who do you have on line one there for us, T-Bone?
Brian in California.
Let's go to Brian in California first up here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Brian?
Hey, so I have a question for you guys. Who has a little bit more of the advantage? Miami, since they had 3-4 days of rest? Or the Celtics, who have pushed to a game seven against a tough Milwaukee physical defense?
Well, Miami should have the advantage because one of the rest, the fact the Celtics have to go down there. They have comfort traveling and all that. You're staying in a nice place, but it still wears on your body. You just got through a physical series. And Miami could shoot the three. Miami could shoot the three. This isn't a team you're facing now. It's going to miss a ton of threes. I think this might be more of a finesse series, your typical AAU floater series, if you know what I'm saying.
It's hard for me to say that the Celtics have an advantage because they got pushed to a game seven and had to, scratch and claw their way back in after losing game five. And look, Miami is going to be a conversation that we have mostly tomorrow. But you're asking me if I got it. I could have a choice. Can you have 3-4 days rest or 1 day rest? I'll take the 3 or 4.
Yeah.
What else? What? You try and talk me into it? Oh, no, you got the momentum. You're loose. No, I don't feel that way. Those two teams beat the hell out of each other. I mean, the charges that those guys are trying to draw, and I don't know how you feel about watching it, McCone, trying to draw the charge against Giannis. A, looks painful.
Oh, yeah.
And B, looks downright foolish at times.
Well, you were just talking about Al Horford, right? I mean, the guy's in his mid-30s. He played unbelievable in that series. But, yeah, just had to go up against Giannis for seven games. I would imagine he would like a few days off right now to get rested and get back to 100% here. But you know what? I think when you talk about that series, the biggest thing for me for Game 6 and Game 7 is I think the Celtics officially have one of those guys now. Like, Tatum, I think, is now on the elite level. And so I think that's huge for Boston moving forward. Like, Miami has a lot of good players. Bam's like an all-star, everything like that. I think Tatum's in that conversation now.
See, that's the thing, though.
The elite players.
He's definitely elite. But, like, Giannis gives it to you every
Different
night.
Dude.
Every
yeah.
night.
Yeah.
But, like, it's like the way that team's built. He has to. There are
You're
times,
right.
I think,
but Tatum had that 10-point game. You're right. He didn't, and it wasn't every game.
He wasn't
game
shooting great.
Game
wasn't
seven.
Shooting great from beyond. There was a three-game stretch where he was not good from beyond three. And you're thinking, oh, no. Then he was deferring instead of taking some open shots. So, got to get him back to being that guy every night. Like, the Jason Tatum you got yesterday went that guy every single night.
I think that Tatum has elevated himself to that part of the conversation. I still wonder about things like Game 5.
Right.
Okay? If you want to put him in that conversation, you can't have a no-show in a Game 5. You can bet. Look, I'm not saying it's okay to have one in games one or two either.
No, you're
in
not
in game
wrong.
Five, that's a problem.
Like, you were just talking about Giannis didn't play particularly well yesterday. He had 25 and 20, and that was like an off game for him. So you're right. Like, to
game
have
seven
a 10,
was an off game for him, but all the other games, he's...
right? And like, if an off game's 25 and 20, then you're doing something right. So yeah, you're right. Like,
without
Tatum,
taking 29 shots.
Yeah, exactly. Tatum can't have 10-point games if you want to win a championship. You're right.
No, and not only a 10-point game, but a 10-point game where you are out there for, oh, I want to get it exactly right. Here we go. 42 minutes and add a total of.
You have to factor in, too, how they choked game six. Yeah.
All right. I gotta find the exact numbers here. All I'm saying, or was it game five? It may have been. No, I'm going to have to go back and double check. We may have that. We have the game number wrong. I still think he's got the talent to be it absolutely included in that conversation. And this is a big one. This is a big moment for him up against a team that has been, you know, thought of for much of the season to be the favorites. And now you have to prove yourself with your superstars if you want to include Jaylen Brown in that conversation. Zoe, I know you desperately want to, and you want, you know, to be Jaylen, you know.
I'm going to put Jaylen Brown elite level with these other guys.
Like, here we go.
I think Tatum's in that discussion. I know Paul Pierce tweeted yesterday that he passed Kevin Durant. You could debate that.
It was game three. My apologies. Not game five. Game three. Okay. Even in a game three in this series, you can't have 10 points, one rebound, and three assists in 41 minutes.
Right.
My apologies. Not game five, game three.
That's like Pritchard-type numbers coming
out of the
bench.
He more than made up for it throughout the rest of the series, and he is the man. He is absolutely the man on this team right now. And with all the contributions from Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Grant Williams, Peyton Pritchard popped up again yesterday. You know, after he had a no-show in that same game along with Tatum. You know, he didn't do anything in his 11 minutes out there, and he came in cold, and he stayed cold. And, you know, 0-for-3 from the field in that game. All right, so that off night, chalk it up to an off night. You better not have an off night against Miami. You know, you're playing against a very good Bucks team, defending champs, but without Chris Middleton, and they were, you know, hanging all their hopes on Giannis. The Heat don't have to do that.
Four weeks ago, we're sitting here talking about the matchups when Robert Williams went down with that knee. You're like, oh, you got to avoid Brooklyn at all costs. All costs, you got to avoid Brooklyn. You swept Brooklyn. Then you got the defending champs, second round. Took them game seven. You beat Giannis. All that's left between you and the finals is Miami. Like, is this the best situation that the Celtics could have ever seen themselves sitting?
Yeah.
Miami, I know Miami's a good team. I'm not putting Miami down. But, man, the way that Brooklyn was touted, and you know, we just know the power of Giannis, and you know, he could just kill you in a game, in a series. That, okay, here you are. I don't say don't blow this one, but man, this is lined up for you.
Well,
it feels like it's really lined up for you.
Go back to the last day of the regular season, by the way. The Bucks sit their guys because they want to avoid Brooklyn. And then because they do that, they don't wind up with game seven at home yesterday. I mean, that's huge, right? Like if they actually play and try to win that game, they'd have game seven in Milwaukee yesterday. And then that's a different story. But yeah, crazy. You wonder if they regret that.
All right, more of your calls coming up here. 617-779-0985. McCone has you on the headlines, and then we'll continue talking both Celtics with you as they advance to the conference final, and the Bruins, their season is over. We will get more into the Bruins game seven from Saturday. What went wrong? What happens next with this team? It's all coming up here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I digress. That tastes different in Florida.
Bertrand.
I got no brother chili.
Zolak and Bertrand. 95 Sports Hub.
Bergeron kicks it back to McAvoy.
Here's McAvoy. He'll bang it to the far corner. A foot race for the puck. 15. Slavin swings it around far side. Bruins keep it in. High slot. Bergeron shoots. Deflected. Marchand got a piece of it. Sent out in front. Slapped to the high slot. Bergeron shoots. And it didn't get free to round to 3 seconds remaining. Right point, Bergeron shoots, blocked. Carolina wins game seven. The home team wins every game in this first round series. Antti Raanta and the Carolina Hurricanes will celebrate to our right. A sea of black jerseys with white numbers and letters highlighted in red. And for the Boston Bruins, the 21-22 season comes to an end here in the first round in Raleigh. Your final, Hurricanes 3 and the Bruins 2.
So that's it. Your Bruins season is over. They lose Game 7 on Saturday to the Hurricanes in Carolina. Home team wins every single game in the series. And even though we were led to believe that the Celtics had a real chance based on history, Game 7s, where every home team has won, there's actually a majority, you know, the underdog going into that, pulled out in recent years anyway, you know, more wins in a Game 7 on the away ice than other teams. It was not to be. The Bruins lose on Saturday, though.
So. Yeah, and I are you disappointed? Yeah, you're disappointed. But did they lose to a better team? I think they lost to a better team.
Yeah.
Do they have more high-end talent? I wouldn't say so. But watching that series from Game 1 on, felt like there's a little more sense of urgency with the Hurricanes. Seemed like they were having fun. They were laying it to you a little bit. I thought the physicality, yeah, it was a physical series, but I check mark Hurricanes. Thought they were more physical than you. Thought they were faster than you. I think they may have gotten better goal player than you got.
I think they
from your guys.
I think they definitely had the speed.
They were down to their third goalie.
And they were down. You know, look, they were absolutely down for some physical play. I don't get the same sense though. And I don't take any satisfaction in watching that series play out, and especially watching Game 7, to where I said, you know what, that's a much better hockey team. You played as hard and as well as you could to force them to 7 games. But damn it, those Hurricanes deserve it, and they're going on, and I see big things for them. I did not get that sense, and I'm not saying that they're a bad team. I'm saying that for the Bruins, I think they fell a little short of what they were capable of, and maybe they're not as good as I wanted them to be throughout this whole season. T-Bone, what are you saying, yes or no?
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you remember at the end with the Patriots, you know, 2019, we're talking about the Brady end. Mm-hmm. You know, a bunch of aging guys, some veteran contracts, a lot of new young guys that didn't really step up to the potential of what we thought. There needs to be some sort of change within this team. There's a little bit of makeover. Again, first question is Bergeron. What's he going to decide? What's he going to do? You know, it's in his lap.
Well, we do have some Bruins contract news this morning. T-Bone?
Is this breaking news?
No, you're going to piss people off.
Yeah, no.
Breaking news.
No.
What do you have for us, T-Bone?
Jacob Zboril. It's a 2-year, $1.1 million cap hit.
All right.
See, they're already working on next year.
It's a good start.
Right to the grindstone.
Big building block.
Let's just stick with Game 7 for a second here, okay? Let's just stick with Saturday's game because it looked like you were going to get out of the first period with no goals being scored. And it's, all right, you know what? Two periods of hockey. Can you win a two-period hockey game? And quite frankly, I like the Bruins in that situation. Give me a 40-minute game with these guys. Give me a 40-minute game with David Pastrnak, Brad Marchand, Patrice Bergeron, Hampus Lindholm, Charlie McAvoy, even Swayman. Give me 40 minutes with those guys. I like your chances. With a minute 24 left in the first, you allow that freaking goal in the last 2 minutes of a period, like we saw way too many times this year. And
every
I'm like,
time.
For doggone gone. Somebody on Twitter said at that moment, somebody who had, I forget who it was.
It's a kick in the you know what. It is deflating.
I think it was a baseball guy who was, you know, admittedly doesn't watch a lot of hockey, said something to the effect of, hockey is the most frustrating sport ever. Watching playoff hockey is infuriating. I'm like, yeah, because it's mostly mistakes. It's just mistake after mistake after mistake.
It's one mistake. Going back to a couple of years ago, it's Marchand getting mixed in a changeup. Next thing you know, boom,
well, you guy goes fail by, so goal, more.
Kills you.
You fail so much more than you succeed. You know, the shots don't go in. The pass gets deflected. You get a poke check. It's like it's just tiny failure piled on top of tiny failure on both ends of the ice, time and time and time again, until one of them just squirts through, and it's like, oh. If it were game one, I could live with this. In a game seven in that building where you haven't won, it felt...
The place is lit.
Devastating. Shut up.
It was. Man. Same way the garden was lit yesterday. Same exact way.
I may have
resonated heard, on TV. Sorry, but it did.
I wasn't ready to talk about it on Friday. I may have heard from somebody who said that the building is actually deafening when you're playing there. And I chose to ignore that information on Friday.
It's okay. Right. To support your point of view, right?
Yeah, exactly. I told this person who shall remain nameless. I said, Wags, that doesn't fit my agenda. Whoops. I said, that doesn't fit my agenda. I am not going to share that information with anyone else.
I never elevated their hockey IQ. I just said, the place is loud, man. It's noisy. And you're like, there's no toothless wonders down there that don't know hockey.
He said it's deafening. I'm like, okay, maybe that's part of it. I'm watching
it. It's a little bit of it.
I'm like, they're down 1-0. I don't feel great.
It gets them excited. If the goal like that gets them excited. That's what it does.
And right. then Max Domi.
You hear it.
Max Domi score. You know, starts his campaign. You know, as gravedigger for the Bruins in Game 7 with the first of his two goals 3 minutes into the second. And at that point, T-Bone, what'd you do?
Said it's over.
Started making tee times.
Yep.
Right.
Let me ask you this.
Hey, don't forget the 4-minute penalty at the end of the first period too.
Okay. So yeah. It's one thing if you just go down a goal and you've got that to deal with. The double minor is infuriating from a Bruins fan perspective and also from an officiating perspective. No. Did you think it was a legit double minor?
Yeah.
Of course. Of course it was. You can't do that. So wait a second. What does that mean for the start of the second? What are we doing? Do we have to finish that off now?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You give up the goal, and then you're going to do it. You're going to do a double minor.
Another kick.
You're
going to
start.
Right.
You're going to start the second period. So they got that. The hell of it is, they actually killed off the penalty. They killed it. That another infuriating freaking thing about
that
this
pesky,
game.
Vulnerable minute, right?
It's that 30 seconds after you kill off the penalty, and what happens? Boom, Domi with the first shovelful of dirt on the season, scores that goal to make it 2-0 Carolina, and at that point, you're like, all right.
Who, by the way, was a deadline acquisition.
Yeah.
Okay. But do you give him any credit for making a series out of this? You're down 0-2. You didn't lose in 5. Wasn't a gentleman sweep. You didn't get swept. It took it 7. We sat here and talked about it. I thought at the time, if you lose a tough game, game 7, is this a failure? I think everybody here said no. I think so. I don't want to put words in Beatles' mouth. He's not here. But I think when we were talking about it, when it was 3 games in, if somehow you lose in 6 or say you get it to 7 in a game 7, if you lose in a game 7,
today
it's really the style you lose with.
Today I feel like they fell short.
It does.
And especially if that ends up being Bergeron's last game. I cannot feel good about it, Zoe. You can make sense of it the way you laid it out against that team that had your number all year long, and every home team won every game. Fine. You got your 3 at home. Great. Good for you. Feel good about it. No, I don't feel like Carolina is that good. I thought the Bruins were going to win that game on Saturday. I truly did. I thought they were going to figure it out.
Well, and the problem too is, and Zoe hit on it earlier, this isn't a team that's like young and up and coming and you feel like, all right, you know what, tough loss, but we're ascending right now. Right. Now you're entering this offseason going, all right, now you might lose Patrice Bergeron and this whole thing might fall apart.
Like Carolina's been around. They've been in the mix here for a couple of years now. You know, Columbus, you know, we had to deal with them. Remember them. St. Louis. It's all these teams that are starting to change. You know, the complexity of the game and the way the game has changed. You've got a sampling of some aging veterans that we all love, no doubt about it. But it's a big decision for Patrice Bergeron as to what he wants to do, because it's going to impact your team.
All right, let's get your calls on the Bruins and the Celtics. Sue, hold on a second. I see you waiting there. We'll get to you and everyone else who wants to talk about the outcomes, both fortunate and unfortunate for your teams over the weekend. 617-779-0985. Hardy and for Beetle on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Getting to the bottom of the story in the middle of the day.
Former chapter head of the Turkey Association.
Hello, Walter.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
As the handshake completes, I'm watching Patrice Bergeron. He just skated across the ice, shook hands with all four officials, and now is headed down to the locker room. If that indeed is the end of Patrice Bergeron's career, everyone should find an example like Patrice Bergeron. He is an amazing player. He has been an icon in Boston for his performance and the way he's conducted himself over his career. He's getting hugs from all his teammates on the way off the ice. It'd be hard to admire a player more than Patrice Bergeron.
And that number 37 is only headed one place, and that's to the rafters of TD Garden. Whatever it is, Bergeron is done.
Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and for Beetle. Tim McCone is here. Let's get to these calls, and we'll talk about Patrice Bergeron with Connor right now in Norwood. Connor, what do you got for us?
So I know the rumor mill is out about Patrice Bergeron possibly going to Montreal, but I want to think, what do you guys think is a fair price for him for another year? Or, Hardy, do we find a way to give him the fifth element treatment and give him a multi-pass for 2 years? What do you think?
Okay, so Bob Beers was on with Toucher and Rich this morning. They asked him about that, and Bob said he finds it hard to believe. He finds it hard to fathom that. And if you don't know, his former agent is now up in Montreal in the front office, right? So a lot of people thought that was going to be, well,
Connect those dots.
Yeah, it's Montreal guys. Okay, you know, Bergeron, go play. He's got, you know, a friendly up there, and that makes sense. I can't see it.
He was also a Nordiques fan growing up.
So that would mean he would go play for the
Colorado
Avalanche?
He's here or done.
Everyone was saying he grew up there, and he was a Montreal Canadiens fan, but he was a Nordiques fan.
Okay.
He's here or done. What's the intern think? Ask him, Tom. What's he think?
It's not time to.
What do you think?
It's not time to talk to the intern.
I just want to see if he even knows what
my head hurts from crushing canes.
Does it? Okay, good. Good answer. I think he's. It's here or done. I think he's actually back one more year. I think he gives it one more year.
Is that a good or a bad thing?
That's a great question. I heard from someone that knows hockey that thinks he's definitely 100% back. That's. You know, it's kind of taking a guess. It's not confirmed. You didn't see him off the ice, get off the ice, or what transpired, or talk to him since, but really knows him well, thinks he's back for one more year.
Okay.
After
a first-round playoff exit, do you want to keep this team intact? Because if Bergeron is here, right, you can think about keeping huge chunks of this team just the way it is.
Oh, Marchand's here. Pasternak's here. Hall's here. If Patrice is back, okay. You get, what, another center? I don't know. Lindholm signed up here for a long time. McAvoy's not going anywhere. Might be kind of stuck with Allmark at $5 million a year for another three. You like your young goaltender, but these guys didn't stand on their head in the playoffs.
I'm not saying that you trade Brad Marchand, David Pastrnak, and do, you know, everything, but what do you need to do? That's a first-round playoff exit.
You have to do something.
After a seven-game series where, quite frankly, a lot of people look at it as you were lucky to go seven games against that team. So you want to bring the whole band back together?
I feel if you do that, you get the same end result. I think you're one and done again next year. I think it's the same.
It's and you understand I'm not saying it's Bergeron's fault.
Team. No,
but if Bergeron is back and everybody's back, then we're going to keep this thing together. We're going to we'll be better next year.
You're losing a great two way player if he retires.
How are you going to be better? This is where the front office stuff starts coming into play.
Depth.
This is where, and I don't think Bruce Cassidy and the job he's done is worthy of anything other than more time working on it and going for it. I don't know that the Bruins will feel the same way, especially if Patrice Bergeron is back. All right, you know what? We're not gonna do wholesale changes on the roster. So it happens in hockey, I think, more so than any other sport. Can't fire all the players. We don't even want to get rid of all the players. We'll change the coach and see what happens. That, to me, feels like it's on the table more so if Patrice Bergeron is back. Because they need to do something drastically different, and it's not going to... I think there's less chance of that happening in big roster turnover if Bergeron is still here.
There's more of a chance to make a coaching change than there is a GM change in that sport. But the feeling is, if you had to pick one to go, which one would you pick to go? Here, locally. I think people would pick Sweeney. Like, I think people like Cassidy.
But okay.
I'm not saying...
You bring in a new GM, what's the first thing the GM's going to do?
I don't know, it's because that's about the depth. And
he's going to bring in his own coach.
Yeah.
But it's about the team and the way the team's structured and looks and the drafts that never came to be. The Brusque's not wanting to play here. Just allowing the whole Tuca episode to exist last year was odd.
We have more Bruins calls. I want to grab Susan here real quick, or Sue, excuse me, and Swampscott on the Celtics, which, of course, we're still talking about as they will begin their series with Miami tomorrow. Sue, what do you got for us?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi.
Fan of you. Just wanted to say kudos to Danny Ainge. Can you imagine what this team would be like if he did not take Jason Tatum and took Fold instead? This would be a completely different team.
That's right. Fold was, that's right.
Yep.
You forget about that draft. It was Fold and Ball, right?
I mean, you got two studs, and they got, all the weapons around him right now. And, it looks like they could be, contend for many years to come.
He's 23. And that's part of the problem, too. We look at him as a 28-year-old. Or you want him to play as like a 28-year-old in his prime. And he's been in the league for a while.
It's already been to two Eastern Conference Finals, yeah.
It's great to think about what he could be like when he gets to that sweet spot year for a lot of NBA superstars, which is, what, McCone, right around age 26, 27?
Yeah, he's getting into it right now, yeah.
Okay, so he's getting into it. All I ask from Tatum is that his hiccup games, like he had in game three, are not 10 points, one rebound, two assists. Give me 16. Give me 16, 17 points, right? A couple more boards. Contribute a little bit more. You can't be a total no-show. It was one game of the series. They won. Let's see what happens against Miami. But if you're going to have an off night, it can't be that off. That's all. Before I'm going to, hang his jersey in the rafters. All right, more Bruins calls right after McCone's Hub headlines here. No commercials, 90 seconds. Right back at it here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.